You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Sunday's edition of the podcast. Sam Norris and Andrew Mount here to take a look ahead to the racing. And do be sure to join us on Racing Radio from 1:40pm on Sunday afternoon with Ollie Pimlott, Mick Norton and Paddy Aspel in the studio for the action at Epsom, Musselburgh and the Curragh. Plenty on Sunday, but first things first, it's a very warm welcome to Mr. Andrew Mount. Hello, Andrew.
Hi, Sam. How are you doing?
I'm very good. Thank you. Yourself?
Good. Yes, can't complain. Thank you.
Good. We'll take a quick look back on some of Friday's action first. Of course, we have had the opening couple of days of the Cambridgeshire meeting over at Newmarket and a couple of interesting races on Friday, beginning with the 3:05, the Rockfell Stakes, the Fillies Group 2 here. All the talk pre-race, Andrew, is about Fair Eva getting back on the winning track, having been beaten by Queen Kindly at York. Went off at a well-backed 4-9 favourite, but it was a French raider that wasn't on the mind of many that ended up winning the race. It went the way of Spain Berg under Frankie Dettori. For a trainer, I have to confess, I don't know a great deal about.
No, I have to admit that I don't even know what the X stands for in X Thomas Demault.
It looks very cool, though.
Yeah, absolutely. We had a guess at this yesterday, and
Xavier.
Or maybe he's an X-Man. But, it was an interesting race. I tipped up in Miss Infinity each way. He was third at 25-1. And,
very nice.
Also bet that one without the favourite. So I could have done with Spainberg missing the ferry across from France
yes.
and not being in the race. But it was a nice performance as well because she was quite keen in the rear and had to be switched wide down the middle of the track and sort of came through late to win quite comfortably. So, Fair Eva. I was prepared to forgive her, allow the defeat at York.
Yes.
You know, because the two that finished in front of her looked pretty good and she was 4.5 lengths clear of the fourth that day. But, now you have to sort of think, is she going to go off short prices because she's the daughter of Frankel? And at what point do you say, no more?
Yeah, indeed, because she was visually very, very impressive at Haydock. It wasn't just the winning lengths that caught the eye. It was the manner of the victory as well. Then backed that up at Ascot. But as you say now, it's a couple of defeats and she's maybe not quite the superstar that we expected. Of course, was put in her place really by Queen Kindly at York. We get a chance to see that one on Saturday, taking on Lady Aurelia. So it may just be a case now of everyone having to rein it in a bit with Fair Eva.
So I think it's going to be the same with a lot of Frankel offspring as well, because we're desperate to find the next Frankel. And every time one of these wins impressively, we immediately. Start thinking this could be the real thing. But we'll just have to be a bit patient with Fair Reaver, I think.
Is there a danger in your mind that the Frankel offspring are going to end up a little bit like Warfront? Because they've all been so forward as two-year-olds. Obviously, we haven't had a chance to see any of them at three, but they've all seemed to hit the ground running as a two-year-old. Is there a worry that they're not going to train on, similar to Warfront's progeny?
I guess it's possible. We can only guess until next year. But what's interesting about the Frankel newcomer, you would actually make money backing them. So Martin Mead had won the first time of asking at Newmarket on Thursday, which I think went off at 5-1. And it's 9 wins from 19 now. And a £1 level stake would have got you £9.58 of profit. So you make a nice few quid backing them blind.
Yeah.
But we're seeing horses go off short from yards that don't normally have first time out 2-year-old winners. Like David Ellsworth, for example. He's got a bad record with his first time out juveniles. Was it Swiss Cross?
I think so, yeah.
First time out, went off at a short price, finished well beaten at Haydock, and then next time out, big gamble, won easily.
Yes.
So it's perhaps a little bit easy to get carried away with some of them at the moment.
Yeah, certainly. The feature race then on Friday was the Shadwell Joel Stakes, a Group 2 event at Newmarket, off at 3:40. And a little bit of a boil over here, really, Andrew, considering that the first two home were the last two in the betting, Cougar Mountain for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore, beating Gifted Master Hugo Palmer and William Buick. So the market principals, there's only six of them in the field, but the front four in the betting were the last four home, and all of them disappointed somewhat.
Yeah, well, it was a strange race, really. I mean, I tipped up Gifted Master, the runner-up, thinking that, you know, he's got a great record on the Rolly Mile. He's had six runs there now, four wins and 2 seconds. And he looked the only pace in the race as well, nicely drawn in store one against the far rail. And he did, as expected, lead and put a bit of distance between himself and his rivals in the early stages. But perhaps the mile trip, although he has won over it, sort of found him out, and he didn't have enough left to repel Cougar Mountain. Now, Cougar Mountain switched from store one to the far rail as well, and the going stick has been suggesting that the ground's slightly quicker over that side. And, you know, it was an intelligent ride by Ryan Moore to head over to the fence. And I think the market just got it wrong, really. I mean, Nathra shouldn't have been such a short-price favourite, given the doubts about her on soft going. I mean, Ken Peterson said from the paddock that, you know, it's, you know, like watching her, you know, sort of go down as well. You'd think that the ground's going to be too fast for her. And, you know, her previous wins had come on soft ground twice and on good to soft ground on one occasion. So, you know, there had to be a major doubt about good to firm at Newmarket actually suiting John Gosden's filly. I think, you know, in third place, she was far from disgraced given the ground conditions, and probably one to side with next time. And Amazing Maria is interesting as well. I mean, this one was well backed, going off at 9-2 in fourth. But in a stable interview in the Racing Post Weekender in August, David O'Mara said that she'll need her next run, which was this one yesterday, and she's been aimed at the Breeders' Cup.
Okay.
And so, you know, this was her first run since late July. And, you know, even though there was money for her, it's probably needed. And it just looks like a prep for, you know, a tilt at the Breeders' Cup or the Sun Chariot Stakes on Champions Day.
Indeed. Yeah, Amazing Maria then, ridden by James Doyle, who's obviously been in the headlines over the past week. Andrew, has, I don't want to say lost the job with Saeed Bin Sarour, because the vibes are that he's not going to get no rides anymore for Saeed Bin Sarour, but he's certainly lost the retainer, and the rides are going to be shared out for the Godolphin operation now. Is that necessarily a bad thing for James Doyle? Because we've seen a long list of jockeys who've lost a big retainer and then gone on to have all sorts of success as a freelancer. Sylvester D'Souza and Jamie Spence are the two most recent examples of this.
Yeah, I guess it's a bad thing financially.
Because yes.
I don't know any figures, but I'm guessing that it is quite a
lucrative job. Yeah,
a good little number getting a job for Saeed Bin Sarour or the Godolphin operation, because you don't have a great deal of work to do, it seems, in terms of number of rides, but you get a nice few quid for the privilege. And but yeah, it's in terms of sort of, you know, putting a bit of fire back in his belly and encouraging him to get out and about there and tout for rides, you know, I think we could see a champion jockey tilt.
Yes.
I mean, next year we talked about this on air on Friday, and I said that, you know, he might be a good bet for the championship next year, and you know, if he's got a good agent and you know, can go and ride, you know, six horses with a chance at Wolverhampton,
yes,
rather than jump on a plane for the weekend and go to Turkey to ride in a Group One race.
Yeah.
And have one or two rides for Godolphin. And Richard Hughes, in his Racing Post column on Saturday as well, also touched on this, that you know, he could end up being champion jockey. And as you say, we saw Sylvester D'Souza lose the Godolphin job and be champion shortly afterwards. And Jamie Spencer lost a high-profile retainer with the Ballydoyle Yard and then was champion jockey. So it'll be interesting to see what James Doyle's approach is next season. But, you know, he's a jockey I rate.
Yes.
He's still riding winners. He had a winner for Godolphin at Pontefract on Thursday.
In the handicap, yes.
That's right, from one ride. And yeah, he's a young man, so he's, you know, I'm assuming his financial future's sort of pretty much assured now that he's been riding for Godolphin for a little while.
Yeah.
And perhaps he can have a tilt at the championship next year.
Yeah, definitely. And the Saeed Bin Sarour Yard have not exactly been firing this season anyway, so there could actually be a chance that he rides more winners now away from the Bin Sarour operation, who've had a very quiet year of things.
That's right. There was a piece by James Pyman and Pyman's Theories in the Racing Post the other day, I think it might have been on Friday, talking about the yards that haven't done particularly well this year. And Charlie Appleby and Saeed Bin Sarour both came out with, you know, much lower strike rates this year than last year.
And for the money pumped into the operation as well, is it concerning times for Godolphin? Obviously, we know their pruning is the word they use, bloodstock operation.
It always has. I mean, it's amazing how much money they can throw at an operation for such little reward, and then people still keep their jobs. I mean, you see them spend several million dollars on a yearling that ends up winning a red car maiden.
Yes,
and for 2,000 quid. So I don't quite understand it really. It's I mean, the number of times they've taken a good horse and the horse hasn't progressed.
Yes.
Yeah, particularly with sprinters. I'm a big fan of opposing Side Vince Roar and Charlie Appleby in group enlisted sprints for older horses. And you look at Baccarat this season, just hasn't gone on since joining the Godolphin operation.
Yeah, indeed. We'll leave that there then and move on to some of Sunday's racing now. We've got four picked out from the action domestically on Sunday. There's a card over at the Curragh as well. We'll be getting Andy Holding's thoughts on every race there on Sunday. But we'll start with the domestic action. Three from Epsom and one from Musselburgh to come then. We begin with the 240 at Epsom. A conditions stakes here. Five runners going down for it. A race for two-year-olds here. 1 mile is the distance. And an interesting quintet have lined up for this one.
Yeah, that's right. And one of the most interesting aspects with this race is that once raced winners have won it for the last 4 years. So that immediately drew me towards Defoe, who made a winning debut at Fosslass for Roger Varian recently. And the time of that race was slow, but it was run on soft ground, and he wasn't hard pressed to win, albeit narrowly that day. And I thought perhaps Defoe could follow up, fitting the profile of previous winners.
Okay, Defoe then for Roger Varian, and Andrea Atzani gets the choice in the 240 at Epsom, the bottom one. We stay at Epsom for our next race. This is their 315 contest, a handicap this time over a mile and a quarter. 11 runners to go at this time in this Class 3. Talk us through this lineup.
Yeah, this is a great race. There's a few of interest here, in particular number one, Innocent Touch, who's one from one over course and distance, and was badly drawn in a big field at Ayr last time, was trapped on the inner. The first three home were drawn wide and avoided trouble down the middle, coming from stalls 11, 13 and 10. And this one's earlier, Newmarket second to Baydar, looks particularly good now, as that one is unbeaten in two subsequent starts, latterly off a £9 higher mark. So I think Innocent Touch could still be well handicapped. As I say, Richard Farr, he's got a good record at Epsom with his handicappers. Stablemate Mika Micah also has possibilities. Adam McNamara taking £5 off this one's back. And he was second in this race last year at 16-1, the only time he's been down to Epsom before. So that will be another one to consider. And the shortlist is completed by Banditry for Ian Williams. This one has only had one run for the yard, but really caught the eye at Sandown. Was 33-1 earlier this month. And flew at the finish to go down just over a length in fifth place. And the fact that his previous win came at Epsom, the fact that Ian Williams is taking him back there would look significant. So Innocent Touch, Mika Mika and Banditry on the shortlist. And if I was just going to go for one of those, I'd go for Innocent Touch.
Okay, three to choose from there for Andrew, and it's the top one that gets the vote. Innocent Touch then for Richard Fahey and Paul Hannigan. The final race that we'll preview from Epsom comes in the shape of their 3:45. Another handicap here over a mile this time for the three-year-olds. 10 runners take their chance in this one. Anything caught the eye?
Yeah, I was very interested in Medbourne Dream here for Paul Henderson. The pace angle is the thing here. He looks the only front runner in the race. And if the current going description of good to soft is accurate, then he'd have a great chance. He only beat one home at Sandown last time, but that was on good going. And he disappointed on his previous run at Sandown on good to firm, finishing last of the nine runners. So on track with cut in the ground where he's won before, if we only look at his runs at a mile on good to soft or soft going, he's had five starts, won four of them, and was fifth in the other after taking a keen hold and racing too freely, the only time a handicap company that O'Sheen Murphy's ridden him. So Martin Dwyer got to know him last time out, and so he rides the track well. And so hopefully if there's plenty of cut in the ground still, then Medbourne Dream can make all the running.
Medburn Dream. It is then for Andrew in that 3:45 race. We go to Musselburgh now for the final race on our podcast. This is the 4:10 Phillies handicap here over a mile. Three-year-olds and older eligible for this contest, and 14 of them stand their ground. Talk through this bunch.
Yeah, this is a fascinating Phillies handicap. Three-year-olds have got a good record. They've won 6 of the 8 renewals, and both exceptions were sort of well handicapped. The 4-year-old No Poppy won this in 2012 and followed up off a £7 higher mark, and Lil So Fella won it last year and say won off a higher mark a couple of runs later and has since placed in listed company. Lil So Fella goes again, and we'll have the race run to suit, because there's an absolute going to be a burn up for the lead here. I think there's 3 out and out front runners, and so I can see them going tearing off and perhaps setting it up for a finisher, as they did last year. So, Lil So Fella would have a chance. But I'm going to go with a 3-year-old in Dark Intention down the bottom of the handicap for a small yard, Lawrence Mullaney. So it could be a decent price, this one. And is a very consistent filly. She's only I think she had 7 runs at a mile or 7 furlongs since her debut, and she's made the frame every single time. And last time out at Hamilton, she did best of the closers, finishing 2nd to front-running Lincoln Rocks. And I think in a sort of bigger field with a stronger pace, at a track she's run well at before, I think Dark Intention from a nice draw around the inside can come through late and pick up the pieces.
Dark Intention then, the choice in that 4:10 race at Musselburgh. Just give us a quick recap then, please, Andrew, if you would, of your 4 selections for the action that we've covered on Sunday.
Okay, I'm going for Defoe in the 2:40 at Epsom. And in the 3:15, I'm with Innocent Touch. I'm preferring that one to Mika Mika and Banditry. In the 3:45 at Epsom, I'm hoping that Medburn Dream can make all the running. And then in the 4:10 at Musselburgh, I'm expecting the strong early pace to collapse and allow Dark Intention to come through and score.
Thank you very much. There we are then, thoughts of Andrew Mount, head of the action on Sunday from Epsom and Musselburgh. We've also got action at the Curran. You'll hear it all live from 1:40 p.m. with Ollie Pimlott, Mick Norton and Paddy Aspel on Racing Radio. Thank you for that, Andrew, and enjoy the action on Sunday.
Thanks, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.